All right, we're ready, everybody.
Call to order. We will begin the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have a remembrance, a moment of silence for our service personnel. Thank you. And call to order, please.
All right, Director Sanderson.
Here.
Director Morris.
Here.
Director Wargo.
Here.
Director Israel.
Here.
Director Link.
Here.
And Calvin Louie, General Manager.
Here.
Was there anybody else that would like to announce themselves?
This is Cindy. Is NBS going to be on the call?
Hi, Cindy.
No.
I don't think they will be tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Just wondering.
Next item is the consent calendar. We have approval of the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and the warrants that were approved by the committee and the regular board meeting minutes. May I get a motion to approve?
I make the motion to approve.
I second that. Director Wargo.
All right, so I have approval of the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants of December 15th, 2020, and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of December 15th, 2020, made by Director Israel, seconded by Director Wargo. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Link.
Aye. Item 2, warrants, none. Item 3, award of contracts, none. Updates. Update number 1, the San Gregorio Pass Regional Water Alliance update. Director Israel or Director Morris?
There's no updates yet.
Okay. Thank you. Manager's report, Mr. Louie.
Is Mr. Lance Eckhart present? Okay, well, I invited him to come speak. Maybe he'll come on later. Okay, first thing on the on my report is the Edison Public Safety Power Shutoff. On December 16, 2020 to January 13, 2021, the County of Riverside Emergency Management Department, EMD, in coordination with the Southern California Edison, has not issued any flash reports for the public safety power shutoff, PSPS, predicting the potential de-energizing selected Cabazon's circuits. Edison generally puts out a critical power outage reminder also. These are planned outage where Edison notifies their customer when they have a planned critical power outage to temporarily turn off power so their field crew or contractors are able to safely perform repairs to the grid. The water district received these notification in three methods, U.S. mail, email, and text. Email and text messages will generally have a link that will take you to the appropriate Edison website page. Included in this manager's report are recent Edison notification of a planned temporarily power shutoff. Just to give you all an idea of what that looks like, it provides the outage number, estimating time of the power outage that will occur, and the estimated time the power will be restored, such as, for example, an outage 1133491, as indicated, will begin on January 11, 2021 at 8 a.m. to January 11, 2021, ending at 4 p.m. A follow-up notification was issued on the day of the planned critical power outage. The notification was titled, again, critical power outage rescheduled. Instead of ending the power outage at 4 p.m., it was extended to 8 p.m. This was issued on January 11, 2021 at 3:52 p.m., 8 minutes before they had indicated that the power would be restored. Later that day, at 6:53 p.m., Edison issued a critical power outage restoral notification that the electric power will be restored at 11:59 p.m. Also, on January 6th and January 7th of 2021, management drafted a watch procedures for Edison alerts and events, including is a separate list of definition and acronyms to assist district water operators and field crew to understand the EMD flash report and Edison PSPS spreadsheet. For an example, alert is a notification from Edison of a potential PSPS event. An event is when Edison actually shuts down a circuit and is actually being de-energized. These words and phrases have different meanings in various industry and business, providing clarity avoids any misunderstanding amongst the individuals involved with a particular project. Another example is in law enforcement and the military. These organizations use codes or when spelling a commonly misunderstood name or word. Over the two-way radio or the phone, the person would phonetically spell names or words to ensure precise communication, such as Adam Boy Charles, ABC, or familiar LAPD phonetic codes, or Alpha Lima Romeo, in which are used by the military, aviation, nautical, and other public safety and agencies. Any questions about that?
No.
Update on the coronavirus. The district will continue to execute the following actions in regards to COVID-19. As of January 11, 2021, the EOC, in coordination with Riverside County Public Health and District's Management, has followed as the following update on COVID-19 information. Management continues to take the following preventative and protective measures. Again, we encourage the board and the water team members to reassure any concerned residents and water customers that may have concerns regarding the safety of their tap water. The transmission of COVID-19 through tap water is 99.9% untrue. The measured dose of sodium hypochlorite kills most bacteria and viruses. The lobby continues to be closed to the public under further direction from the state and county health official. Management will continue to protect the health of district employee. Face masks are required. A barrier is at the transaction window, which is the bullet-resistant glass. Customer accounts will handle checks, money orders, and cash wearing nitrile gloves provided by the district. Current confirmed COVID-19 cases in the community of Cabazon is 233. One death, recovered 157 as of January 11, 2021, according to the Riverside County Public Health website. This community's water district will continue to work with water customers that are experiencing hardship in paying their bills. However, there will be an item in the future on resuming penalties and interest. Management has updated what other local water districts and company actions in response as of January 11th, 2021. City of Banning, City Hall is now open for over-the-counter payments. However, face covering and social distancing are required to enter the building. Coachella Valley Water District, closed. Mission Springs Water District, closed to the public. South Mesa Water Company, hours or services may vary to the public. Beaumont Cherry Valley Water District, closed to the public. High Valley Water District, hours or services may vary to the public. Any questions about this topic?
Continue.
If the public educational video, we're in the process of finding another vendor. We've reached out to Accent. We're waiting an answer from them. We'll probably bring this, we'll start making some recommendations probably around April, just before we bring the new fiscal year budget to the board for approval. In the meantime, you know, we're going to need a webmaster, and I think the best thing is just leave it alone for right now. Any questions about that?
No.
Okay. The property owner of the undeveloped lot on the north side of Dolores Avenue between Broadway and Cabazon Street. One of the lead out in the field lead called in sick today. We were going to go out and determine the location of the hydrants, and so we'll have to reschedule that. Majestic Property, which are the four units located at the corner of Maxine Date, between near Lemon Street, we have not heard from the new property owners, nor have they applied for water services. Pecan and Main, the Hadley Ice House, per the fuel crew, they will be extracting a majority of the scrap to recycle. If they are eligible to generate recyclable funds for the district, and begin dumping trash in a construction bin. This phase of the project should be completed on before the last 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of January. But as I said, they took ill, and we had a couple other issues to come up, so we're shooting for the last 2 weeks of January. Elizabeth Mithelton. She owns a piece of property on Hattie. The GM and I met. The GM and the lead met with Ms. Mithelton. She is a realtor and developer. She is desirous in developing a residential manufactured home. Her comment was $60,000, the estimated total of running the transmission water pipeline to her undeveloped parcel is overwhelming to her construction budget. The $60,000 is divided into half for engineering, plan checking, parts and material, and labor. This is based on an estimate that was dated on June 16th of 2020 that we presented to Mithelton. I think the assistant general manager had stated that she had put down $5,000 and the district has returned it to her. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, say again, Calvin.
Miss Mifflin had issued a check for $5,000 of deposit, but you returned it back, or the district returned it back to her because she said she didn't want to move forward with her project?
Yeah, we returned her deposit, her initial $5,000 deposit months ago when she said that she didn't think she could go forward with the project. But that was before attending the last board meeting she attended and then saying she was going to meet with you. So as of right now, we do not have any deposit from her.
During the meeting, I explained to her that $60,000 is towards plan check, construction site inspector deposit. She can maybe address the board and the board members can also can decide whether she can have a payment plan, but that's at your discretion. And so that's where that stands right now. Do you have any comments about that, or are you guys interested in meeting with her? Or because my personal opinion, or my as the manager, you know, she's going to be building a house. It's not her residence. And it's when she sells that house, she's going to make a profit. So I feel that the $60,000 is not overwhelming, being that she's like, I think maybe 300 or 400 feet off of Maine, not off of Elm.
Elm? You said Hattie Avenue, right? This is Sam.
Right.
Okay.
This is Ellie. The only comment I have, Calvin, and I've brought this up to you before, is we're not a bank. And from an accounting perspective, it can become a hassle to keep track of payments if she enters into a payment arrangement. I'm not saying she would cause problems necessarily, but I just know in the past we've had customers that we've had to nag and bug and get after constantly for them just to make a minimum payment. It takes a lot of staff time to keep up on it. So that's the only comment I have about a payment arrangement.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on mute. This is Director Borgo. Is this the lady who we were talking to that if other people joined up within the next 10 years, they could pay that back?
Yes.
Okay. So is she just not moving forward with her project at all, or just it's too expensive to even build out there?
What she wants to do is a reduction on the $60,000. And I told her I did not have the authority to reduce the amount. It is what it is, and she would have to petition the board to ask for a discount or a payment plan. And as I said, as management's recommendation, that we do not, because she's going to make money if she sells this house, so we shouldn't, you know, the district shouldn't give her a discount.
This is Director Morris. If we were to give her a discount, we'd have to give everybody one.
And that goes against what we just went through with NTSB as far as rate studies and everything else, and to being compliant with the law. So,
I agree with what both you people said. This is Sanderson.
My opinion is if she wants to contract out to have the work done to district standards, she can have somebody else do it. If it comes in less money, then that's great. But otherwise, it's up to her, you know, to pay the fees, just like any other developer has to do.
Mm-hmm. If she paid to have the water line dug, though, could we have more people add on to that if it was other people's work? Or
Yes, I explained that to her as connections come in. There's a formula in which, you know, she would get reimbursed for the towards the $60,000. I also advised her that if she had her own engineer and her own construction crew, then she would have to at least be required to have a deposit for plan checking and also an on-site inspector to ensure that they're not, their parts, material, and method was to district standards.
This is Director Israel. I agree with Link, Morris, and Sanderson that if we give her a discount, then we'd have to discount for everybody.
I think we're getting off topic here. This is supposed to be a management report and stuff, so.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, my question to the board is, how would you like me to communicate with her? Because I told her, I advised her that I would let her, advise her the decision of the board whether they would even consider giving her a discount or a payment plan.
No.
Sanderson, no.
Can't vote on it, but that's just my opinion.
I'm in agreement with the gentleman. Morris.
That's three.
Doesn't matter. We can't vote on it. It can't be.
I know.
Yeah, but he's winning our opinion, so.
He did win our opinion. Yeah.
Okay, I will communicate that to Ms. Mitchelton. Next item is Chick-fil-A. District engineers and legal's opinion is the developer is not obligated to fund construction to improve the water infrastructure if it is not related to compliance to water district standards that affect their project. Example is enlarging a water distribution pipeline to effectively serve the proposed project would be at the developer's expense. However, after discussing this issue with district engineering and legal, they suggested that the district request that drawings and construction to include the residential water system, and I'm talking Apache Trails north of Seminole. Are you guys familiar with Old Hadley site? That they extend and connect with the new 12-inch pipeline. The excess cost for drawing and installation will be credited back to Chick-fil-A. It is in our opinion, and the engineer agrees, that if we loop that system to the 12-inch line, that'll benefit that housing tract that's north of Seminole behind the little strip center, the Cabazon outlet. And at this time, we have we've submitted the comments from our engineer, and I'm still waiting for some comments back from Chick-fil-A, their engineer and legal team. So for me to pursue that idea, that concept, is that acceptable to the board?
I think you're asking us to actually make comment and vote on things we can't do because they're not an agenda item.
Well, I'm just asking.
I don't want to get us in trouble here.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, Director Lee. Sorry, Calvin.
I think that needs to be an agenda item. Yeah.
The dinosaur eyes that were purchased and installed by the field crew, Lee Wooney, again, was stolen between the weekend of December 4th through the 7th. And that was the same thing, the same time we had our PSPS. So the hoodlums in the neighborhood, they're pretty crafty. Then we installed some, since then we've installed some enhanced perimeter security LED lights. They've been installed. This was planned back in August, September. I think if you all look at the at your pictures, it's, I know they're just grayscale, so, but they're pretty bright. And but again, if we have one of these PSPS outage, everything goes down. Director Wargo suggested that Google Meet is a free conference call. The AGM and I looked into this current service that we have, and we're going to reach out to Accent, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ellie, they're going to give us some lessons on how we can manipulate and actually be online and share one person's screen, so we can start looking and seeing and discussing documents and photos. Is that did I get that right?
No, well, not quite. I called Accent about a month ago or several weeks ago, and they told me that the current platform we use is very, very similar to Zoom or Teams or Google Meet. They gave me a demo, and they showed me how to do it. So I relayed that information to you very recently, and you informed me that you'd like to be trained also. So I just don't know your availability. If any of the board would like to be trained on it also, please let me know, and then we can schedule something together or whenever is convenient for each board member and train you on how to use the current platform so you can do screen sharing, view documents during the meeting, just stuff like that.
What is the current platform? Is it Teams or is it?
So currently we use something called Free Conference Call. It's very similar to Microsoft Teams or to Zoom. If you have a computer or a smartphone, you can log on like Teams or Zoom or even Google Meet. And for example, like if I had Calvin's management report on the screen, I could page through it and everyone could see which page I'm currently on. If one of the directors had something to share on the screen, I could enable it so that way you could also share your screen and show everybody. And if you really wanted to do the face screen sharing, you could do that as well. It's pretty much the same as all the other platforms that are out there right now.
And is it no additional charge?
Correct. The other platforms have a limit on users, or there's a charge if you go over a certain amount of users or a certain amount of time. But the current platform we're using now, there's no additional charge. It's all free.
It's a volunteer-based system.
Correct.
When it comes time to add an agenda item, I want to add one concerning that. Okay.
Okay. Production well 4. This has been the second phase of the water production redundancy and backup. Basically, if I lose well 5, which is south on the south side of the outlets on Seminole, or if I lose the Robertson production well, or I lose both the Robertson well and the Seminole production well, we have well 4 as a backup, even though it's only about 400 or 500 gallons per minute, is still a production well. We continue to take samples, raw groundwater samples, to keep the blessing with the state. And the last time we collected some groundwater sample, Morgan reported when he shut off the power to well 4, the electric pump motor, the pump shaft no longer stops rotating. That has a ratchet, and it's kind of like if you're like a roller coaster, and it clicks and it stops because that's a shallow well, whereas the other ones it continues to rotate and slows down. We've discussed this concern with Legend, the contractor that has been with the district for over 10 years and currently is performing the rehab at Well 1. Keith, president of Legend Well and Pump, provided me a quote of $9,098 to mobilize a crane, crew, and support vehicles to extract the motor at Well 4. The total estimated amount of $816 will be for teardown and inspection to determine the cause of the current condition. And out of the total estimate, $1,050 will be for the video log at Well 4, which is a written and digital copy of a report. So far, they've removed the well motor, and they think that there are some internal parts that have broken, and also the bowls have is almost ready to drop down the shaft, so they have that braced, and they think one of the bowls, one or two of the bowls, might be impaired also. So we're waiting for some confirmation on that. And when it rains, it pours. Well 5. The wastewater valve was discharging while water was being distributed or refilling tank 2 and 4. I've left a voice message with Mike Trosper. He came out and apparently the seals, and there are some rocks that were impairing the opening closure of the stem, so that's been repaired. So that's probably some good news. Progress report and production well 1. The components in the shaft at well 1 has been pulled and scrubbing has been completed. If you look at 6 of 9 on the report, I have photos of baling during the brushing and swabbing process of the debris that have been pulled into the well that falls to the bottom. It is then necessary to pull all of that out of the well. A baler is a specialized tool that allows the removal of the debris. Brushing removes debris that clogs the perforation in the casing, and swabbing the well pulls in silt and other debris that lie in the water stratus. These procedures result in a greater flow of water, allowing for less drawdown in the well. When I first came to the district 16 years ago, that well was around 917 to about 1,000 gallons per minute. It's now between 745 and 8, so it's declined, and hopefully it'll get back up and start performing again like well 2 at about 1,100 gallons per minute. Completion date is earmarked for February 2021. This project is running ahead of schedule, except this, it was when I wrote this manager report, it was, but with the high winds and the crane, they were afraid, so they've had not worked probably for the last two or three days. Progress report on tank 1. this vendor is also ahead of schedule. If you look at the pictures, it's a K&S job site inspector's drawing of the progress made of the interior and roof of Reservoir 1, Tank 1. Their projected completion is January 15th, which that means that they've already packed up most of their stuff. The only procedure that is being held up is the disinfection of the interior of the reservoir's floor, walls, and roof. We had management and district engineer had made recommendation that the possibility of a backflow incident during the disinfection process would certainly jeopardize the community's water system. Basically, we've installed a makeshift. We repaired. There's a 12-inch gate valve that we repaired, and we also have a blow-off, and we put a hose spigot on it, a 2.5-inch hose connector. However, if any of that debris or the contaminants in that inside that tank one backwashes back into the system, that would jeopardize the community's distribution system. So we're going to wait for well one to be put in place, because well one feeds directly into tank one and it does not distribute to the community. So they postponed the disinfection until well one is running. On page 8 of 9, the district field crew, again, as I said, has installed an alternative water source for the two contractors working at the well site and tank site. Basically, what we did was increase the pressure at Apache Trail PRV vault and was able to push the potable water up into the facilities of well one and tank one. And that is my report. Any questions?
No.
No, that's it. So we're... the next item we have then is... I mixed all my pages up.
There's a lot of pages.
Yeah, there is. Okay, here we go. It's a good thing I got it on the computer at the same time so I can keep one page and mix all the rest up. Okay, so let's see here. We're on page... Oh, here we go. Okay, manager report. Mr. Eckhart, I presume, is not online. Okay, new business, tank 2 exterior roof recoating quote. We need to make a vote on that. What is this about, Mr. Louis?
Well, you can see these are pretty pricey. It totals about $225,000. Reservoir 2, which is tank 2, the rooftop is peeling. And tank 4, which is the Desert Hills Premium Outlet Reservoir, that's about close to almost 30 years old. You figure I was there for 6 years, and the center was 10 years old, so that's 16 years, and I've been 16 years with the district, so that equates to 32 years, and I have never observed the exterior or interior being worked on by the center. However, we did, when we first took over their system, we did have a diver, and some repairs were done when we took over the DHPO water system, and that was in 2012. So it's now 21, so that's about 9 years ago. However, that's another $250,000. I think myself and the AGM and the CPA, we're going to have to discuss these prices with her and see if we can fit into the next year's budget, the next fiscal year budget, or somewhere in the future. However, if we wait too long, you know, then we're going to, it'll cost the district more because then we're looking at bare metal. So it's kind of a roll of the dice, and we need to make an intelligent recommendation to the board. And in order to do that, the first step is our discussion with the AGM and the CPA on the amount. And I'd just like to advise the board, we're looking at probably another $250,000 for these two tanks.
Okay, well, that's the exterior on both tanks. It's not the interior, correct?
Exterior, yes.
Okay.
When I was describing the interior, that was us in 2012 when we hired divers to dive into 2 and 4 to inspect, and they did some minor repairs.
Well, I'm just making sure it's not a water quality issue at the very beginning, that's all.
No.
Okay, so this is just discussion right now then, correct? You're just
correct.
Letting us know?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no action taken.
No.
My personal opinion is once it goes through once you talk to the accountant and everything else, that we do stretch it out, but do the exterior roof first, because that's a spot where water can set and cause more repairs than doing the side of the shell on the other one. So that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's why I put reservoir 2 first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we'll do. Put that on the agenda for next month then. Next item is discussion action approval of tank diving inspection of 2, 3, and 4.
AWWA recommends that tanks be inspected inside and out at least once every 3 to 5 years. So the 3 tanks... 2, 3, and 4 are up. As you can see, the quotes from 2 diving services, Dive Corps at $5,800, that's for all 3 tanks, and Liquid Vision is $9,450 for all 3 tanks. Dive Corps is not only lesser, but that was Diver Dan, whom I worked with probably within my first 3 years with the district. And I'd like for the board to discuss and decide on which contract we would like to award.
Did you go over these to... Do they have a different number of manpower on site while they're doing this, or let's see. They want $3,000 a tank to do it for the one, and the other one's like $1,500 a tank, huh?
Are they able to do any repairs while they're in there? Sorry.
No, that's what they're going to be inspecting is what needs to be repaired.
Okay.
This doesn't include vacuuming or cleaning it, any of the sediment in there either, does it?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. It does, too. Yeah, under the dive, under the LiquiVision, it says removal of accumulated floor. This, it says it's... It includes LiquiVision and has removing sediment from the tank.
we maybe see if how much Diver Dan would have to do it for the other one? If, you know, if you add it on vacuuming, does that make it more equitable?
I think so. I would like to see you ask Dive Corps about cleaning the sediment out of the tanks also and giving us a quote on that so that we have an equitable thing here. Any other comments about that?
Sounds good.
No, I agree with that.
Okay, I will. All right, I will follow up with it and include it in next month report.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is board training. You want to set up a time for that, Ellie? I guess we could do an. Do they have an online course that we can do?
Yes. So this one actually is online. I know not everybody has a computer, but for those of you that have it and want to do it from home, that's perfect. And if you don't have a computer or internet and you want to do it from the office, I can schedule that just as easily. This is a free training. I thought we would take advantage of it. It looks like there's one on January 26th, which is next Tuesday, I believe. It's at 6 p.m. There's also one on, it's the same class, it's on March 17th at 10 a.m. I believe that's a Wednesday or Thursday, but I don't have a calendar in front of me. And then there's also one on May 4th at 6 p.m. So the whole board doesn't need to attend one class only. If half the board wants to attend the January class and then the other half wants to attend the March class, that works. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because I know we're trying to watch our budget, but we're also trying to get the training that we need.
Yeah, but we're required to do this training by law, so.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. This isn't all of the training we need. There's another one, AB 234 or something like that. I can't remember, but this is some of the training that we need.
Okay, you said the first one was the 26th, and you don't know when the other two are, though, right?
First one is January. I do. First one is January 26th at 6 p.m. Second one is March 17th at 10 a.m. And the last one is May 4th at 6 p.m. And it should be listed on there's a registration form in your packet. It's page 65 out of 162.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, I see them. Okay. So it's a matter of us finding one that we can attend, huh?
Yes, so I can register board members or you can register from home. It's entirely up to you.
How long is the training? Is it 2 hours, 3 hours, four?
I believe it's 2 hours.
And is there a test that you have to pass at the end of it, or is it just... Is it live training or, you know?
I've never attended this training for these classes. I know for other classes that this organization's had, they don't have a test, but they do have, like, periodic interactions. So every, like, 30 minutes or 15 minutes, they might have a quiz or a vote, on like a poll on something. Nobody is singled out. It's more of a group exercise, but they just want to make sure that they have you engaged and that you're actually doing the class.
Okay. So everybody needs to look at their schedule and get back with you and set it up.
Yes, please.
Is that about? Okay. Sounds like a plan. Okay, so the next item is? Okay. Oh, I almost went to public comment, huh? Okay, next item is old business, NBS water rate study review. This was put on the agenda in case people called in and wanted to ask more questions about it. Is there any questions from the general public, if there's any, about the water rate study? Wow. Okay. Next item is public comment. Nobody there. Future agenda items. From the public. None. From the management.
Nope.
Okay. So I have an agenda item I'd like to discuss or have put on the next meeting. Free conference call, based on what I see on the website, is free conference call to all. But it says pay what you can. In other words, they would like to see you donate. And since we are using their services on a monthly basis, I'd like to see us make a contribution on a regular basis since we are using their services. Do I have any objection? Can I get a second to putting that on the agenda so we can vote on it? Or do you think that this could just come as a normal business expense and mail them a check or whatever?
Well, I second it, Sanderson. I second it if you want to put it on the agenda, or I also agree with your second analysis.
Because I'm looking here at, they show a suggested amount of $4 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, and considering the cost versus what we're getting, I would like to see us just have it as a normal office expense or board meeting expense.
Well, if it needs to be an agenda item, let's make it an agenda item and vote on it.
Well, I don't know that we need to. That's why I'm asking people.
If we don't need to, then, yeah. I agree with you,
if we're gonna
make it, you know.
Ms. Wargo?
Would we need to agree on the amount that we send them every month?
Yeah, that's true.
I guess is that the part that makes it an agenda item?
Okay. Well, Mrs. Ellie, you're going to look at the cost, you know, to see about the video conferencing to see if that kind of changes their perspective. But if you could, when you do your research, come up with an equitable amount for us, I would appreciate that. And
okay.
Bring it up as a board item. Board item next month.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
And I heard somebody chime in on the phone service. Did somebody come on to the conference call?
No, I think that was me, Director Morris, when I kind of chuckled because it was crickets. Sorry.
Oh, no, I heard a little chime, like or somebody's on their computer.
Yeah, I started to cough. No, I started to cough when I was laughing, so it sounded like a mouse.
Oh, okay.
A little comedy.
Any more management comments? Board member comments? Okay.
I'm glad it's
future board meeting. Go ahead.
Wait. This is Director Morris. I don't know if this is a question or a comment. On the recycling the metals, I do have some here on my property as well, if you guys would like to add those to it.
Okay. You mean to contribute to the, if there's enough to send somebody?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what?
I
understand. The conflict be with somebody thinking that you're just using the district to try to get rid of your stuff. Be
it's
careful
actually,
of that thought.
Yeah, the stuff that I'm donating is not actually trash. It's actually, like, usable stuff.
but mm-hmm. it's something that somebody gave to me because I helped them clean their lot on the trash day, and it's been yeah. just sitting in a bin, and they gave it to me out of appreciation, and I'm not going to go turn it in, so I've just left it sitting there waiting for someone to take it.
There's a local guy, I can get you his number, that does it, and I've seen him picking up mattresses that people throw out and hauling to the dump on his own car, own dime, so how about if I get you his number?
Yeah, that's fine. These are like metal buckets and like one looks like a spoon, stuff like that.
Okay. I'll get you his number. That way there's nobody can say the district is doing your dirty work per se. You follow me?
Yeah, I get it. My yard's clean now, though.
Okay. All right. Finance and Audit Workshop, Tuesday, February 16th at 5 p.m. Regular board meeting is February 16th at 6 p.m. No personnel committees. The next Regional Water Alliance meeting is the 17th.
Next Wednesday.
Oh, I'm looking. Oh, there is one this Wednesday coming up?
No, a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
The 27th.
All right, so you will have a report for us next board meeting.
Yes.
Maybe. All right. Any other questions, comments, or anything? Oh, thanks for coming, Cindy.
No questions.
All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I motion
Director Morrison makes the motion to adjourn.
All right. I think we have two.
Yeah.
So I have a motion to adjourn at 6:57 p.m. made by Director Morris, second by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Aye. Thank you, everybody, for coming. We did that in an hour.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. See y'all. That was a quick
Thank
hour.
You,
not too quick. Anyhow, bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.